talking about a home.
From the people who bring you Charleston Home and Design Magazine, the Charleston Home and Design Show, and Charleston's online home show, charlestonhomeanddesign.com, this is Talking About a Home. Talking About a Home is a home show on the radio, featuring interviews with local experts, home tips, trends, and ideas you need to know to make your home better. This is Talking About a Home.
Cause Carolina is calling me once again. I don't know. Oh, I'll keep thinking about Caroline, 'cause it's the place that I call home.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Tim Barkley with Charleston Home and Design Magazine, and I want to thank you for listening to Talking About a home show on the radio. This week's home theme song was by a bluegrass band called Into the Fog, and the song is called Carolina Calling, and Into the Fog, and about 20 other bluegrass bands are performing this weekend at the Charleston Bluegrass Festival, and there's tickets you can buy today to come out today to enjoy some great bluegrass at the Woodland Reserve, and tickets are still available if you want to come in, if you want to enjoy a great day of music. In addition to the great Chris Isaacs talking about a home, and special thanks to today's show producer, Ashley Rowell. In addition to our radio show Talking About a Home, we also publish Charleston Home and Design Magazine, winner of the American Society of Interior Designers Excellence in Design Media Award, and also winner of the American Institute of Architects Charleston Chapter's Honor Award for Journalism. You may also be familiar with the Charleston Home and Design Show, which we organize. It happens every January. Well, today we've got a great show lined up for you. If you've ever wondered how an architect can benefit you, we'll be talking with architect Joy Martin with Joy Architecture and Interior Design. Also, Amy Milani with Sherwin-Williams. And this is a very interesting interview all about paint colors and so forth. And then finally, we'll be talking with Paul Hogard with Danco Modern Furniture. And if you haven't ever checked out Danco Furniture in Mount Pleasant, you definitely should. It's a great place, and no matter what style home you have, modern furniture, Danish inspired modern furniture will look great on that. Well, joining us now is Charleston Home and Design Magazine content manager Ashley Rowell. How are you, Ashley?
I'm doing well. How are you, Tim?
Good, good. So, Ashley, the new spring 2025 issue of Charleston Home and Design Magazine is out. It's mostly out. We delivered to just about every home-related showroom throughout the Lowcountry this past Thursday and Friday. And who's on the cover of the spring issue of Charleston Home and Design Magazine?
Julianne Juju Taylor. So she is well known in the Charleston area. She has multiple of her own brands. She used to own a home furniture company as well as Juju Loves, which is a website that women can go to and shop. And she is just a beautiful influence in the Charleston area.
Yeah, and we've been wanting to get Julianne Taylor on the cover. We've been talking to her for a couple of years now, and that's the beautiful thing about living in a city like Charleston, South Carolina. There's so many famous people who live here, who have moved here, and we kind of have our own waiting list of people that we want to famous people we want to put on the cover, right?
Yeah, I know. It makes exciting when we go to select our next one, and it's also so exciting for me, who works here and also as a reader, to go into these people's homes that you've always wondered what the inside of them look like and get to experience it firsthand.
Right, right. Is that kind of a topic of conversation with your friends and family when after you've done a cover shoot at one of our famous person cover people's houses?
Yeah, especially our last cover for Leva. I've always been a big fan of Southern Charm growing up here, so it's been so fun to watch the TV show blossom. So going into her home was a special treat for me. Yeah.
Well, we've definitely rode that Southern Charm horse quite a bit. We've had quite a number of Southern Charm actors on the cover of Charleston Home and Design magazine, and you're referencing our winter 2025 issue, which is. While you won't find it, it's not our current issue, the winter 2025 issue with Leva Bonaparte, but the winter issue is living on. We're starting something new. We're placing our past issue, not our current issue, but our past issue in select Harris Teeter locations, primarily east of the Cooper Harris Teeters. There's quite a few there. There's also the Folly Beach Harris Teeter. So if you didn't get a chance to pick up the winter issue, which is our kitchen issue, by the way, great timing for that if you're planning a kitchen remodel or if you're building a home and looking for some inspiration for your kitchen. You can still pick up the winter 2025 issue at select Harris Teeter locations for free. And they've got those racks near the door. They usually go fast. I usually put those in the racks on Mondays, and they're gone by Friday. So if you didn't get a chance to pick up the winter issue of Charleston Home and Design, it gives you a chance. But what are some of the specials that sales specials that people can take advantage of if they sign up for the Charleston Home and Design magazine weekly newsletter?
Yeah, so we encourage you to head over to charlestonhomeanddesign.com to sign up for our weekly sales newsletter. And in this week's newsletter, B Medical Aesthetics and Wellness is offering, if you purchase 1 hour of teeth whitening, you can receive a free 15-minute touch-up on your teeth, which is a fantastic special. Isla Modern is having their 8th annual warehouse sale, so that means the entire store is 50 to 75% off from March 26th through the 31st, so just this weekend. So make sure you stop by during that. And then a new sale that I think is really important to capitalize on is Brownswood Nursery and Landscape is offering a garden center quick sketch. So it's a free service, and what's included in that is a 15-minute time slot where you will receive a hand-drawn sketch with plant layout and recommendations for your yard. And you can sign up online at brownswoodnursery.com/quicksketch, or you can just drop in.
Well, that's great. Well, we hope everyone has a great weekend, and you can sign up for our weekly newsletter at charlestonhomeanddesign.com. Have a great weekend. And now we're talking with architect Joy Martin with Joy Architecture and Interior Design. How are you, Joy?
Hi, Tim. I'm great. Thank you.
Good. Joy, take a moment and tell our listeners all about Joy Architecture and Interior Design.
Sure. We are a boutique-sized architecture firm, woman-owned, and located in two locations, in Charleston, South Carolina, where I grew up, and in Minneapolis, Minnesota, where I started the firm and spent a good chunk of time. And we do primarily residential, single-family home renovations and additions, and some new builds, and then occasionally we'll do a boutique size multifamily or commercial work as well.
Gotcha. So, can you tell our listeners who would need the services of an architect? What kind of project would trigger the need for an architect?
Sure. Anytime that a project gets to be a certain size in either square footage or budget, it's a good idea to enlist the advice of a licensed professional, like an architect, an interior designer, obviously a general contractor. So projects that are, you know, more than one room large in terms of renovations, or that are impacting structural parts of a building or home. And then typically if it's more than like a $200,000 budget, the level of investment on the project is significant enough that you're going to really want the advice of someone who's been trained in the building arts and the design field to give you guidance.
Gotcha. And some homeowners like to rely heavily on the general contractor for design advice, but general contractors, they prefer that an architect is involved because it removes a lot of question marks and any confusion that can come up during construction, correct?
Exactly. Yes. And a really good general contractor will recognize that hurdle at the beginning of a project and refer, you know, potential clients to talk to designers, architects. And so we have some really nice relationships with builders here in town where they respect and understand the aesthetic that we're trying to go for when we give them drawings, but they will connect potential clients with us and say, hey, look, you know, your project's big enough. We really need you to have an architect involved so that we can have a really clear picture of what we're going to build here. And then it also helps them with accurate pricing.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right. Have you ever, and I already know the answer to this, but have you ever had a homeowner that regretted hiring an architect to be involved with a project?
No, I have not had that experience yet. Most of the time our clients end up becoming personal friends after their project, which is just like the best compliment, because they are, you know, investing a lot of money and trusting us with their homes to, you know, sort of, a lot of times we're renovating, so we're tearing apart their homes and then putting them back together. And so then to sort of build a friendship through that very stressful process is pretty remarkable. So yeah, no, we have the opposite problem, or opposite coincidence, where we make friends through the process of designing and building their homes.
And we hired an architect to when we built our home about 16 years ago. And I'm curious if any of your clients have said the same thing that I have frequently said over the years, which is we would never have thought of numerous things in the house had an architect not been involved, and we're so grateful that the architect kind of brought those features to us in their drawings, because we just wouldn't have ended up cumulatively with the quality of home had we tried to do that on our own, or if we were dictating orders to a draftsman, yeah, for example.
For sure. That's wonderful to hear. I love to hear the good architect experience stories from people like you. So yeah, it's, you know, really valuable to have someone who's been trained in the design industry. Their perspective is completely different from a homeowner's. And especially if you're renovating, you're often, you know, kind of, you may have a vision in your mind of what the space is supposed to be and how it's supposed to function for your home. But when you bring in an architect, they will look at it from lots of different angles, including, you know, all of the experience they may already have with other homeowners. But one of the things that I do specifically, intentionally, in our design process is when we're generating concepts for a homeowner, we will, you know, kind of draw what they ask us and then draw some variations of what they've asked us. And then I will take the concept and completely do something the opposite, you know, lay out sort of the opposite concept just to see if some really great solution comes from that. And occasionally it does, you know, occasionally it's good to just turn over all the stones and know, okay, we looked at that option. It really isn't a great solution, but, occasionally we come up, you know, we flip it around and it's like, oh, this makes complete sense. Why didn't we ever think about you know, putting the kitchen at the front and the family room at the back, or whatever the solution is. And so that perspective is what, you know, is where you get really get the value from an experienced architect being involved in your home. And then the small details and the solutions to, you know, the daily life machinations of a family or a couple in their home. There are things that we think of that make life easier, and that until you've lived with or had those special details in your spaces, you just don't know about them, or you just aren't exposed to them. So those are the kinds of things that we bring to the table.
Mm-hmm. What is it about, and I'm sure you'll know exactly what I mean when I ask this question, but what is it about walking into a home or a room, a space in general, that makes you sometimes it makes you feel a little claustrophobic. For whatever reason, it just doesn't feel like it's laid out the best way. Sure. Versus walking into a home or a space that has been designed by an architect.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, a variety of things impact how you feel in a space. Light and air and how they move through the space is a huge deal. And that's a very intangible, you know, those are very intangible qualities that just impact through the intuitive feel of a space. So when you go in a home, you're like, wow, this feels really good, but I can't put my finger on why. It probably has a lot to do with just how the natural light impacts all the spaces, and how the air, literally the quality of the air in the space. So, you know, that kind of is a nod to the building science that architects bring to the table as well. And then just the hierarchy of space can also have a big impact on how something feels. So, you know, everyone's probably been in a house where it's not necessarily a high design home, but the foyer is giant and welcoming, but then there's something weird about the family room or something weird about the bedroom layouts that make them feel less private or too cramped. And so hierarchy and space and how each space is used and then thoughtfully laid out, connected, whether it's with a, you know, wide double opening or an open floor plan or very intentional entryways into different spaces, can really impact that feeling of whether it's a good, positive vibe coming from the home or a claustrophobic and kind of stuffing you into one space or another.
Right, right. Yeah. Maybe it's the ceiling height. Maybe it's
window sizes, mm-hmm. ceiling heights, doorways. Yeah. Connections between spaces.
I think of there was a home that was before we were still in the design phase. We walked through a home in our neighborhood that was not designed by an architect, and it's almost as if the real estate agent had said, or the developer had said, listen, we need 3 bedrooms, 2 baths, a formal dining room, you know, gave the drafts person a list of things, and
yeah,
that person followed the orders and did it. And like when you walked into the dining room area, the dining room table wouldn't really fit in there. It was, you were going to have to, you know, hey, we, you know, tuck in your chair. You know, I can't get around you, those are, I think, kind of some of the, an example of, a home or a room or a space that was not well designed by an architect.
It always pains me to go in those homes because, like, the amount of dollars and resources spent on actually building that structure are, you know, somewhat wasted, because then it's like, oh gosh, you know, just rearranging a few things in a different way could have solved 90% of the problems. But I would say that's part of the job that I really enjoy. We do new build work and enjoy that a lot. But renovation work is a niche where we're experts because we can go in a space and kind of see the potential and, you know, are sort of forced to work within a set of parameters. And like, well, if we, you know, I call it playing Tetris with the space. It's obviously way more nuanced than Tetris, but, you know, certainly moving around volumes of spaces in order to make them flow better is an art in itself, and, mm-hmm. and the puzzle solving of it is something I thoroughly enjoy.
We've got a couple minutes left in this interview, but I wanted to ask you. You mentioned before we went on the air. There's a new build that you're working on, new construction, and can you talk about that a little bit?
Of course, yeah. So it's a teardown, which we don't do a lot of teardowns. So the homeowners have owned this house for many, many years, and it had lived its useful life. And at the beginning of the project, we thought we were doing a major renovation where we were adding a second story. And the house is located in West Ashley, kind of close into the city. So it's a really great location. And as everyone in the Charleston Metro knows, that like real estate is just kind of hard to obtain and very expensive. And, you know, if you want something new, you have to go really far out, the city center. And so these clients had shopped and decided they were going to stay put and they would do a major renovation. So digging into it, we realized that basically the foundation was not the amount of revisions we would have to do to the foundation to make their plan work was going to be so significant that it made more sense to just tear the house down and build new. And when we did that, we discovered that, like, in fact, that was the best possible solution we could have ever come up with, because they just found some other things in the house that would have been really hard to remediate once we were in renovation work.
Mm.
So it was a new build. It's two stories. It's inspired by Craftsman architecture from the 1920s, which is appropriate for the neighborhood. So that's the other thing, is we wanted it to be, you know, a really welcoming facade to add to the street in their neighborhood. And all the detailing in it is kind of carries some not, I wouldn't call it a heavy-handed craftsman, but definitely the craftsman-inspired detailing throughout, in all the cabinetry and hardware, and, you know, like the molding around the windows and doors and crown and trim and all of that is carries that style and that inspiration throughout the home.
Mm. Sounds beautiful. What stage is the home in?
So it's fully framed. It's sided. The windows have been placed in the, you know, the rough openings. The roof is going on. So all of the exterior is almost done, with the exception of painting. It's got a really nice big covered front porch and covered porte cochere, so parking area adjacent to the house, and then a nice deck off the back. But the interior is, you know, roughed in with plumbing and electrical, and insulation starting soon. So I've got a little ways to go, a couple months to go still for all the interior finishing, but it is really taking shape, and just the spaces inside and out and how they connect are really beautiful.
Well, that's great. Well, I look forward to seeing that house in a future issue of Charleston Home and Design magazine.
For sure.
And a couple last questions. Joy Architecture and Interior Design. That's a little bit unusual. A lot of architect firms are just straight architecture, but Joy Architecture and Interior Design, you have that aspect of interior design. Can you quickly tell our listeners about that?
Sure, yeah. I have two people who work for me that are very talented interior designers who have also spent time doing what we call interior architecture and in the architecture side of things. And so they bring Allison Landers and Aaliyah Rogers bring a huge spectrum of experience and talent to the table, where they can kind of wear hats in both sides, you know, in the architecture side and in the interior design side. But they have all the training of interior design that is such a huge asset for our clients. So when it comes to really getting into the nitty-gritty of all the selections that have to be made in a project, they know their product, materials and finishes and fixtures and vendors, and just are an incredible resource for our studios and for our clients. And they're just extremely creative. So they act as a resource for us, but also an inspiration. So we, as the architecture design, the designers who are trained in architecture, have learned a ton from them, and we have just been able to level up throughout the studio, which is a great, it really makes our jobs a little bit more fun even.
Yeah. Well, as a homeowner, you will never regret having an interior designer helping you with those selections, because it really can be overwhelming. And you will never regret working with an architect like Joy Architecture and Interior Design. And I will just say that the outcome of a project is never guaranteed. You may decide to cut corners and not hire an architect or interior designer, and you're really taking a big, big chance because of the amount of money that's involved. And whatever the fees are associated with hiring an architect and interior designer, you will be paid back later when at resale, and certainly enjoying the years in this in a well-designed home.
Sure. So, thank you, Tim.
You're welcome. I speak from the heart. how can folks get more information about Joy Architecture and Interior Design?
Yeah, we are online at joyarchitecture.com, on Instagram at Joy Architecture, and on Facebook at Joy Architecture and Interior Design. And we have phone number 612-616-9472. And you can email or reach out to us by phone or email directly. We have a form on our website. So if you're interested in connecting with us, please do.
And you can always find Joy Architecture and Interior Design within the pages of Charleston Home and Design Magazine and on charlestonhomeanddesign.com. Well, we've been talking with architect Joy Martin with Joy Architecture and Interior Design. Thanks so much, Joy.
Thank you, Tim.
And now we're talking with Amy Milani with Sherwin-Williams. How are you doing, Amy?
I'm doing fantastic. Thanks for asking.
You bet. Amy, take a moment and tell our listeners all about Sherwin-Williams Paints and what you do at Sherwin-Williams.
Yeah, so I'm a designer account executive, and I cover a territory that extends from North Myrtle Beach all the way down to St. Simons Island, just south of Savannah. So my territory runs along the coast, and it is an absolute gorgeous area. I feel really privileged to be visiting architects and interior designers all along that area, and helping provide support for their projects, and representing Sherwin-Williams out in the field.
Gotcha. Is it a tough to get assignment to be assigned to the coastal area like you are?
I think it's very coveted. I've had a lot of colleagues ask me, if I'm ready to move on and move up in the company. And I feel like one of the things that's wonderful about Sherwin-Williams is there's a lot of opportunity to move and grow within the company. So I actually started out 9 years ago in Orlando area and down in Florida working for Sherwin-Williams. And when the opportunity came up to come up to Charleston, I was super excited to do that through the company, and I have a background in preservation, so it was just a great fit for me. So that's one of the advantages, since Sherwin is, across the country, it gives our employees a lot of, opportunities to grow their career and also see other areas of the country.
Mm-hmm. Well, everybody knows about Sherwin-Williams, or maybe they think they know everything about Sherwin-Williams. You folks are ubiquitous. You have so many locations. It seems like you're driving down the road, and there's just so many Sherwin-Williams locations. Very, very convenient for those paint contractors and do-it-yourselfers. But tell our listeners something about Sherwin-Williams that they may not know.
Well, you're absolutely correct. We are the largest paint and coatings company in the world, and part of that is sort of the expansion of the company and having that reach and that coverage. We know that's critical in the field. And I guess the fun fact that I would share is that we actually open one new paint store every 3 days.
No kidding.
And that's an incredible accomplishment, both from a real estate standpoint and, you know, just, you know, as a mission for our company that we want to be close to job sites. We know that contractors depend on that, and to be able to provide the support and service that we do to contractors, we just need to be near the job site. Mm-hmm. So we're always looking for new places to put our stores, to be able to, as you know, growth happens in Charleston, we're always looking for where is that growth going to take place in the community, and make sure that painters can support that growth with our stores.
Gotcha. Whenever I go to a Sherwin-Williams location and I have an account with you folks, I always see paint contractors, professional paint contractors in Sherwin-Williams. Why do so many professional paint contractors urge their homeowners to use Sherwin-Williams paints?
I think that contractors know that at our stores, they're going to receive incredible support on their jobs, and it's really been a hallmark of our company to focus on contractors and on their business and supporting their business in every way we can, partnering with them any way we can, and you know, speaking their language, whether it's you know, providing someone in the store that's multilingual to providing, you know, like accounting tools for contractors to help keep track of their, you know, their purchases and their products. We're just out there doing everything we can to, you know, to move contractors, you know, forward and grow their businesses. Mm-hmm. And this has just been tradition in our company. And I think it's something that holds true today.
Well, that's great. And just as important for homeowners and for Sherwin-Williams, I'm sure, are the interior designers. And why do so many interior designers use Sherwin-Williams paints?
Well, that I can speak to, you know, directly. I also am an interior designer myself, trained interior designer, and I worked for quite a number of years specifying Sherwin-Williams, you know, both color and product. And I think to me, one of the values is the number of colors that we offer. And I think any designer that you speak to, you know, we can never get enough colors, right? Mm-hmm. There's always going to be a project that you need something special for, and you're looking for that special color. And so in our collection, we actually have 1,727 total colors that we offer to designers. We have two fan decks that cover all those colors. So 1,526 in our classic fan deck, which is sort of the larger gray fan deck. And then we did come up with 201 new designer colors that is in a second fan deck that are specifically aimed at the interior design and architectural markets. These colors are spectacular, and so we were super excited to add that collection in. So just the sheer number of colors is important. And I also think that, you know, we have, you know, support on the ground, which is my personal job of calling on designers and making sure they have all of the information on products. They call me for questions. You know, for any unusual circumstances in jobs, that's my, you know, my love is to go out and, you know, if a designer has a vision for a project, I make sure that their vision is seen through, and their colors are realized.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like that's the value that we offer to designers.
Mm-hmm. Of those 1,500 or so colors that you mentioned that Sherwin-Williams paints have, how many of those are white?
Right. Well, that is just, that's very interesting because I've also lived through the gray phase, right? So there are quite a few grays that we offer. But the whites, it's a very interesting phenomenon. The whites are kind of here to stay at this point. We know that white offers such a versatile backdrop and is also very coastal. So we are looking at it from multiple angles, you know, here in Charleston. It's very, you know, it spans across different styles and offers that flexibility for the homeowner as they change out artwork or furnishings. The white remains that great neutral. But we are seeing more complex whites, you know, pushing through and moving away from sort of a bright, sterile white, because white is actually without color. And so if you don't have color, it can't interact with other colors. So white that has that little bit of drop of undertone, or, you know, whether it's warmth or a blue undertone or a taupe undertone, that can interact with other materials in the space like flooring and countertop stone. And that's really what creates beauty. So we are seeing a lot more complex whites, if that's any consolation, you know, becoming popular, especially with brown undertones.
Mm-hmm. There must be over 100. I'm not going to put you on the spot, but there's a lot of different whites.
Well, and here's the thing with that. So color is actually relative to, you know, it's perceived relative to what's next to it. So a color that's even light gray, you know, can look like white if it's against a dark color. So even colors that aren't, we wouldn't necessarily call a white, may actually look white in the interior based on what they're next to. Mm-hmm. So this is the trickiness of color that designers love to work with.
It is a little bit tricky. Like, for example, I had a neighbor who painted their house gray, but it looks purple.
Oh yes. And that is probably one of the biggest, when I'm working with clients and they have, you know, picking a gray, you always want to test, you know, you know, take the extra time to do the sample and do the test outside in the light, because color changes, right? It's dynamic. It doesn't just stay one shade. And if you start to see that purple undertone come through or that red come through, you can't unsee it, right? And you probably look at your neighbor's house and see purple now. It's hard to not see the purple in that gray.
Yeah, well, we've got a couple of favorite colors at our home. We use the Charleston Historic paint scheme that Sherwin-Williams has. We used buckskin on the exterior of our home. Are you familiar with that color?
Yes, absolutely.
And it's held up fantastic. We built our house 15 years ago, and it looks as good as it did the first day it went in. And we were very careful in choosing the exterior paint because we didn't want it to fade. So we chose a color using the light reflective value that you see on the back of those paint. What do you call the paint? Those paint cards,
paint chips.
Yeah, the paint swatches. Talk about that a little bit.
So, well, one of the things that's really important is, you know, right now we're trending into, you know, darker colors on the exterior, and you're absolutely right. If you are using, you know, a very dark color on the exterior, that becomes even more important to use a premium product. You know, those two elements go hand in hand. So yes, you can do it. You can paint your house navy. You can paint your house charcoal. You know, you can paint a darker color. But using a premium product like Emerald or Duration, those are both formulated to resist wear and tear and weathering on exteriors. And that's where it really can make a difference. So up front, you know, making those decisions, talking through with your designer what your goals are. One of the first questions I always asked my clients was, you know, how long do you want the paint to last? Like, are you in this house? Is this a forever home? You're never leaving Charleston. It's just so wonderful here. So how long do you need that paint to last? And that can really get you into the right paint category. And then the other factor would be the color. You know, if you're using a darker color or a color that requires a little more protection from UV rays, that can help to ensure that it lasts as long as it possibly can, and you won't have to repaint. But you did bring up a topic that's close to my heart. The historic Charleston colors is something I've been very proud to be associated with since I've started here in Charleston about 5 years ago. And we are very proud of that collection and what it means to the local community here. And, you know, the ties that it has to our history, to our, you know, culture, and just sort of telling the stories of, you know, the past and how important that is, especially in Charleston.
Mm-hmm. And on the interior, we use clapboard a lot. That's a favorite color of ours as well.
Yeah, I definitely feel like the new, we are putting together more resources for designers with the Charleston collection. You're going to see more coming from us, not only in terms of resources like fan decks, which some designers already have, but also just more information on the colors and things like that will be available online. I think there's been just a big, you know, interest in these, so we're trying to respond to that interest and provide, you know, more information and more resources for homeowners and for designers as well on these colors.
Right, right. So I'm sorry, back to the light reflective value, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
You call it LRV.
The LRV.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned some of the darker colors that for the exterior that people, you know, they need to be aware that unless you buy a premium paint from Sherwin-Williams, it has those darker colors have a tendency to fade. And I was surprised by this, but even if you paint your house yellow, that's not a dark color, but that has a tendency to fade as well.
Well, on our fan deck, designers know that certain colors, there are a few colors that are listed on the fan deck on the back. It will say interior only. And the reason for that is that, and it usually does contain a yellow pigment, and that pigment can be sensitive to sunlight. So you're absolutely correct. So whenever, usually it's a historical home that's looking to paint their house, you know, yellow, it's always important to check all the information on the back of the swatch. It will also give you information on whether, you know, a tinted primer is required. So a tinted primer goes underneath the color, and it really makes the color look full-bodied or rich the way it's intended. And painters are all very aware of that, and the folks at the store are able to guide homeowners on that if they need to get a tinted primer with a certain color. Mm-hmm.
Well, I would just urge our listeners to, you may have your favorite colors in mind that you would consider to paint the exterior of your home, but maybe instead of starting with certain colors in mind, talk to the folks at Sherwin-Williams Paints and ask them about the light reflective value is, and if you wanted to maintain the color of your home more without it fading, what would be the colors that they would recommend, and then you can kind of choose from that group of colors.
Absolutely. But the thing that's wonderful about our premium products is that, you know, our high-end residential products do protect. So I think that what those high-end products do that we don't see in other lines is that it allows for artistic freedom. It allows the designers to make choices based on the aesthetic and not worry as much about other factors. So in other words, we have, for instance, a washable flat in our most premium products. So you're not limited. You don't have to worry about going up in sheen level to get that washability and that protection. It's already built into the paint. And that allows the designer to say, in this particular circumstance, I want a flat surface, mm-hmm. a flat sheen level that doesn't have any light reflection. That's more appropriate for this project. Let's say it's a historical home in downtown Charleston and the walls are imperfect. You know, they're imperfect, you know, at this point, you know. And so to de-emphasize that, we always recommend using a flat sheen on an imperfect wall. Mm. And so you don't have to feel like you're sacrificing washability or durability using a flat in a premium product.
Oh, that's good. That's nice that Sherwin-Williams has kind of cracked the code on that to prevent the fading. We're almost out of time, but I wanted to ask you about Sherwin-Williams colors of the year. You folks release some of the colors for 2025, and we have a feature on that in the latest issue of Charles and Home and Design magazine. But talk about the color collection by Sherwin-Williams.
Yeah, we were really excited to do something a little bit different this year with the color of the year sort of concept. In the past, we've always had a single, you know, recommended colors, just like other paint lines. But we kind of feel like a one-size-fits-all color of the year just doesn't work necessarily. And we felt it would be more helpful to both the design community and to homeowners to come up with 9 essential colors, sort of pulling together a range that, you know, sort of essential colors to be aware of, you know, that are more important, more significant this year. So brown, for instance, has been just an enormous, you know, shift from grays warming up to browns. And grounded is one of our most important colors that has that, you know, that we're using brown as a neutral, brown as an undertone. Other colors like, you know, rain cloud, where you have blues we know have, you know, health implications. Blues make us feel calm. They make us feel, you know, at ease and relaxed. And so this, you know, after COVID and all of the stress that everyone was under, we just see this enormous resurgence of using blues and greens everywhere, layering them together, on the, especially in the interior. The neutrals, like Malabar, is, you know, this lighter, warmer, you know, complex color that is a perfect sort of backdrop for, you know, playing against, you know, fabrics and wood tones. Darker colors are also still big, like clove, that have a lot of richness to them, that have complexity. You know, we're still seeing color drenching where there's, you know, where we have those lighter whites, but then we want something different. So the deeper, darker color drenching, the, you know, rich, moody colors, you know, people are really enjoying those in their homes. These were colors that were only seen, you know, in restaurant areas, hospitality, and we're bringing those deep, dark colors into our homes now. And it's just a wonderful new, you know, kind of a new thing.
Well, that's great. Well, we're well over time on this interview. I'm sorry to cut you off. I've got more questions. Yep. Next time I talk, I would love to talk with you again.
And absolutely.
I want to know how Sherwin-Williams comes up with all those creative names for those different colors.
Right.
We'll save that for next time.
Best job in the world. Yeah.
But we've been talking with Amy Milani with Sherwin-Williams Paints. Thanks so much, Amy.
You're welcome. Thanks so much.
And now we're talking with Paul Hogard with Danko Furniture. How are you doing, Paul?
I'm doing fine today, Tim. Thank you.
Yeah, great. Paul, take a moment and tell our listeners all about Danko Furniture.
Well, Danko Furniture is a modern contemporary furniture store located in Mount Pleasant on Johnny Dodd. And we've been here. Next year will be our 40th year. We are a locally owned and operated store and have been since we opened. And we have furniture for all rooms in the house.
All right, great. So for our listeners who maybe haven't had a chance to visit Danko Furniture, when you say modern furniture, can you kind of describe that a little bit?
Well, modern is sort of more of a clean line. Not too ornate, fairly simple, but very, we look for comfort, like in sofas and chairs is very important. Mm-hmm. Not just looks, but comfort also.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes, you know, it works also in smaller spaces because it's a little cleaner look and simpler. So it's not as big, bulky.
Right. Very uncluttered
furniture. Correct. Yeah.
Gotcha. Well, good deal. And the furniture that Danko Furniture has, I've heard it also described as Scandinavian furniture, right?
There is Scandinavian influences still. That's actually how we started originally, was doing primarily Scandinavian. But now we've mixed. We do furniture from the U.S., from Italy, and still Scandinavian, Norway, Denmark, and Canada. And that's primarily our sources.
Right, right. Yeah, when I moved to this kind of tells you how long Danko Furniture has been around. When I moved to Charleston 35 years ago, I ended up buying a dining room set from Danko Furniture. A beautiful teak dining table.
Oh, nice.
and teak chairs with a nice contemporary upholstery, and it's still around today. It's lasted that long, and that was when the Danko Furniture was down on East Bay Street.
Okay, yep, that's where we started, and that's what we like to hear. That's what we go. Our goal is to sell quality furniture that'll last for many years. We don't do as much teak. In fact, we don't do really any teak anymore. Unfortunately, there's not a lot of teak home manufacturers, except from the Far East, which we don't really do much from.
Right.
But now it's been the primary wood right now is walnut, which is also a very kind of a similar wood, but just a little. Little different shading, but it's a similar idea with nice graining and a good solid wood.
Probably more sustainable than the teak also.
Yeah, and it also, most of it is from the U.S., so it's, sourced here. So
right.
A lot of it, Pennsylvania, Ohio area.
Well, Paul, what's most popular in the bedroom, for example, where Danko Furniture can help folks that are maybe looking for bedroom furniture? What do you find is people asking for?
Well, we do a lot of our bedroom furniture is solid wood. It's out of Vermont, and that's again shown in cherry, walnut, and also. Stains on oak.
Mm-hmm.
Natural oak is not exactly a pretty wood, so that a lot of the time it's stained to make it look a little more pretty.
Gotcha. How about the living room?
Living room, we do a lot with a company called American Leather. That's out of the U.S. Have a lot of their sofas, swivel chairs. We also do their sleepers, which are rated most comfortable sleeper. We sell a lot in this area because a lot of people like to come visit.
Mm-hmm.
And then we also do, of course, our Stressless line, which we've been selling for as long as we've been here, 40 years. And it's a high-quality leather, ergonomic chairs, sofas out of Norway.
Mm-hmm.
And they are now doing dining room chairs, which has become very popular because there's a little movement. So they have a little flexibility in them. So that's people like those.
Yeah, and I'm looking at the Danko Furniture ad in the latest issue of Charleston Home and Design magazine, and it shows that the Comfort Sleeper by American Leather, the sleeper sofa, and are those. Like the traditional sleeper sofas with the bar in the back that kind of you feel that in your back?
No, it's actually it must have been about 20 years ago now. They've sort of reinvented the sleeper. So it's actually a platform with a memory foam mattress on it. So there's no bars, no springs. And it's very easy to open and close. You don't have to wrestle with it. And that's available in different sizes, different fabrics, different leathers, and even different mattresses. You know, you can even do a Tempur-Pedic mattress. It's the only sleeper you can do a Tempur-Pedic mattress on.
Nice. I think I remember at one of our home shows a few years ago, you had kind of a love seat sleeper sofa and You were opening it up with one hand, and you must have opened it and closed it a thousand times that weekend just to show people how easy it was to operate.
I was exhausting.
Well, after 1,000 times, yeah, sure. Well, good deal. What about we mentioned the dining room. What's popular these days for dining room furniture at Danco Home Furniture?
Well, we still do a fair amount of the wood, but we also do a fair amount of glass tops. And also now the ceramic has become quite popular. It's a very durable, easy to clean, put hot stuff on it. It's and that's an Italian line that does most of that for us.
Gotcha. And does Danco Furniture do anything in the with outdoor furniture?
That we do not.
Gotcha.
Yeah, at the moment we're not. We're still looking, but it's hard to find a good quality line that's not outrageously expensive.
I gotcha. Well, good deal. Is there any other room of the house that I forgot to mention?
Let's see. We covered it. We do office furniture too. Mm-hmm. We do a company called BDI, and it's you can do it can be for office, but it can also be for home. So it's kind of not just a industrial looking, or and they do sit stand desks too, mm-hmm. which have become quite popular, so that you can adjust them so you're not sitting all day.
Yeah, and a very popular option. You mentioned a lot of people like to come and visit their relatives and friends who live in Charleston. You take that third bedroom and turn it into a home office, and then you get a comfort sleeper by American Leather at Danco Home, and you've got a sleeper sofa that you can use, but fold it up when no one's visiting, right?
Yes, absolutely. And you don't have to feel guilty that your guests are going to be uncomfortable. They're going to be comfortable.
Yeah, you don't want to make them too comfortable being just in somebody else to move here.
They might stay.
Right, right, exactly. Well, good deal. Well, congratulations on your 40th anniversary at Danco Furniture coming up. And this is Danco Furniture is a family-owned business too, right?
That's correct. My father started it actually back in Massachusetts in the early 70s, and we opened here in 86, and my brother Pierre ran it for many years, and then I moved down, and now I am running it.
you've been running it for quite some time now, right?
Yeah, since 2010. So
wow, okay.
15 years now.
15 years. Well, good deal. Yeah. Well, how can folks get more information about Danco Furniture?
Well, of course, they can always come in. The other thing is we do have a website, of course, and it's dancohome.com. They can always welcome to call at 843-884-2256.
And Danco is D-A-N-C-O.
That's correct.
Danco yes. Home.
Yeah.
And you can always find Danco Furniture within the pages of Charleston Home and Design Magazine and on charlestonhomeanddesign.com. Well, we've been talking with Paul Hogard with Danco Furniture. Thanks so much, Paul.
Thank you, Tim. Have a great day.
You've been listening to Talking About a Home, a home show on the radio. To make contact with any of the companies featured on today's show or listen to previous week's shows, visit charlestonhomeanddesign.com. That's charlestonhomeanddesign.com. Please tune in again next weekend.